I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
Guys, I have a great idea, okay? I'm going to run an NBA organization, and you know who my key player is going to be? I'm going to run the offense through Kenneth Faried. It's going to be great, guys.
Wait, dump it everyone.
Can I just say, is it true that in America that everyone either doesn't rate Faried, or they love him like so much for no reason at all? That's the vibe that I get.
Okay, I think that people who are just sort of fans and who don't really know what's going on really like him. You know, he's like really exciting and explosive, and he hustles and all that bullshit. People who know basketball, it's either you have that belief that Kenneth Faried is good and you cling to it, so you continue to like him, or if you're willing to let your opinion shift as you learn more, you're like, oh wait, like Kenneth Faried is not a good functional piece to like be an offensive creator. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's like,
yeah,
you could be so good as a Tristan Thompson, right? Where all of his rebounds, he like doesn't shoot, you know? Or he could be really good coming off the bench. And I actually went to a Dallas game that was against the Nuggets. It was the one that went into overtime. You remember that?
Which one? Those two?
The one that was in Dallas.
Oh, so the one that you won, I think.
Yeah. And okay, it was later in the season, as opposed to earlier.
Wait, so was it the one that you won or the one that we won?
It was the one that we won.
Oh, yeah. Raymond Felton just took the absolute piss. Oh, my God.
Raymond Felton's a gun.
Yeah, dude. Raymond Felton is MVP.
Oh, my God.
He destroys Houston every time we play. Seriously.
Dude.
He destroys everyone every time we play. By the sound.
I was saying earlier, I'm working on this podcast right now where there's a pause like this. And
is that before or after the nap? Or during?
It was after. Asshole. Mason Ginsburg was a guest a while back. He's a Pelicans guy.
Yeah.
And then he tweeted, Felton running the floor, in quotes, and then as easy as it gets, in quote. And he says two phrases I'm not used to hearing together.
Oh, yeah, I saw that tweet too.
Raymond Felton is frustrating for me as a Mavs fan because, like, you know, it's his contract year, right?
Yeah.
And, like, he's just going to get fat as fuck again once he gets a contract. Like, I know it. Like, Dallas is... I think Dallas is going to be smart enough to not pay him. You remember they had Monte last season, and they were like, yeah, no thanks. I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get fucked.
I think they're going to be smart enough to not pay Raymond Felton. But I wish, like... Oh, man. He's like Andrea Bargnani, where the money ruins him, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
If all 30 teams in the NBA could just consensus agree, okay... These lazy, fat, hamburger-eating assholes, we're not going to give contracts longer than a couple years, then everything would work out. But someone's going to be like, Ray Ray, here's a 4-year contract, and he's just going to be like, yeah, time to take out the fucking...
And then you just see him down at Whataburger down.
Yeah, yeah, time to take out the Burger King gift cards again.
Just straight up, pay me in Burger King gift cards.
Yes. It's probably going to be the Kings. The Kings are probably going to give him, like, some huge fucking contract.
Well, apparently Rondo doesn't even want to be there.
Dude, where does Rondo want
to
be?
No one wants to be there.
No one wants to be there.
Like, what's... Rondo? Fucking Rondo. Speaking of contracts being up...
Yeah, but, like, what the thing is, he doesn't want to be there, but who wants him? Someone will pay him.
The Knicks, maybe?
Yeah, the Knicks.
They're a whole another story. You need a whole another podcast for the Knicks and Kings.
The Kings.
Jesus Christ. You could go for hours.
Yeah, I had a series about the Kings that was royally fucked.
That's great. That's fucking great.
Yeah. And about the Knicks, it was a Chris Cast Podzingis.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, but you remember there was talks about Rondo going to Houston.
Yeah, please. That was like... Just before he got traded to Dallas, everyone was like, oh my god, I want Rondo. Well, what? You want a guy in a system that shoots three-pointers? You want a guy who is a terrible three-point shooter, is a terrible free-throw shooter? All he can do is like...
I was all aboard the Rondo trade with the understanding that it probably wouldn't work. And even in retrospect, that's a good call. Because, like, the Mavs offense looked so amazing that year, right? Like, they were the top of the league for the whole year until the Rondo trade.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that if the question is, can you have a championship team that has a 34-year-old Jameer Nelson starting in point guard? The answer is no, you unequivocally can't. But if the question is like...
Jameer Nelson's a Jet.
Jameer Nelson's a guy.
He's a Jet.
Oh, yeah, you guys have Jameer Nelson now. But
yeah, I love Jameer.
He's not your starting point guard, though.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah. Who was your backup point then? Was it Ray?
Oh, we were talking about how great DJ Augustine is.
Oh, I love DJ. Absolutely love DJ.
I rate him.
But who were you asking who our backup point guard is?
Who was your backup point guard when Jimmy Nelson was starting? Was it Ray?
Yeah, it was Ray and Devin Harris.
Yeah, Devin Harris. Why would he even play anymore?
Why wouldn't you start Devin Harris, to be honest?
Yeah, Raymond Felton came over with Tyson Chandler.
Oh, what a blockbuster trade that was.
Okay, it was, though. Like, we got Tyson for no one.
Yeah, well... Phoenix are like, shit, we got a blockbuster trade. We got Tyson Chandler. That worked out well.
They paid him. He's, like, so overpaid now.
He was great on the Mavs. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. Maybe it's an accent thing.
Yeah, he was great on the Mavs. Hey?
What?
Wait, so, we're just going to move on from that with the understanding that I still don't know whether you were being sarcastic or not.
Oh, no, I was being sarcastic.
You, dude. Tyson Chandler was great on the Mavs. You're wrong.
No, he was. Like, he actually was. Like,
nah, fair enough. He was good, but Phoenix, he just gets 6 rebounds, miss 6 shots, and then I'll go sit on the bench after my 15 minutes and collect my check. Thanks.
I think when Carlisle was a kid, he always had a lemonade stand every year during the summer because he's just so good at squeezing everything you can out of players.
This is the best metaphor I've ever heard about.
As if they were lemons.
But seriously, like, I was talking about this on Twitter with someone. If Howard played like Tyson Chandler did at the Mavs, as in doesn't demand the ball in the post, just lurks under the rim, alley-oops, and then just absolutely block the shit out of anyone who comes near him,
right?
Like, I would pay Dwight like 15 mil to do that at Houston, but instead he has to be like feed the beast in the post and then just airball from like 2 feet away.
Dude, but okay, you guys were saying you listened to the low post NBA A to Z. Did you listen to that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, this is great. I'm gonna make sure it is and then send the link to you really quick. See, Lakers antic takes away from Kobe's farewell tour. All right, okay, here it is.
Well, can I just say about Kobe, like, it takes a special kind of guy to put up 50 shots in his last game, and I bet you that would be James Harden. His last game on his death, like, even if he had a broken leg, he'd still come up, put up 50, probably 53 free throw attempts, though, just to, like, be special. But
Okay, here. I'm sending you guys a link on Twitter so you can listen to it afterwards.
Yeah.
You guys should listen to this. So, the podcast that I just sent you... Basically, Dwight is living in a fucking fantasy world where he thinks that the offense for the Rockets could be feasibly run through him. Like,
I have too much to say about this.
I mean, good. Like, go ahead. Like, what do you think?
he thinks that offense can run through him. He's probably the worst passer on our team, just for a start.
Oh, hey, actually, you go on, okay, so James, while you're saying whatever you're about to say about Dwight Howard, Tim, go to almightyballer.com and click on the archives tab and go all the way back to the first article I ever wrote, okay?
Yeah, I'm going now.
Okay, so...
All
right, James.
All right.
Hit it.
So, he has to be the worst passer on our team, definitely, apart from Ariza inbounding. Like, I ran a poll yesterday about...
Is Ariza the greatest of all time of bad inbounders? And everyone seems to think so. So, anyway,
he thinks he can run the offense through him by... Every single time, run down the floor, he's going to back up in the post, chuck it to him, and he's going to do a post move and just score. Maybe in Orlando that worked.
No, even in Orlando
it didn't work. Exactly. With Demo, if he was Demo, I would 100% just say yes, do it. Because Demo has good post moves, good hooks.
Yeah, dude, all of last season, I remember talking about this. I think it was on a podcast. Demo, before his back injury... Dwight Howard was out all season when you guys were the second seed, right? And so it was Demo starting at center. That was
the reason we were the second seed.
Yeah, and the best that the Rockets ever were was with Demo at center. And Demo...
And sadly, Josh Smith at power forward. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. Josh Smith, the god.
Yeah, mate, he's point god. That's who he is.
But, I mean, Demo I don't know, after his back injury, I don't know what the situation is there, but there was a time before that happened that I was like, the right coach could turn Demo into a 18-8 type guy, you know?
Yeah, well, he's a terrible rebounder for a 7-footer.
Well, but part of him being the right coach is putting him in the right positions to rebound.
Yeah, exactly.
Bickerstaff is a fucking dumbass. No. So.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but, think about it, right? The sets on offense and stuff, if you watch it, really good coaches will have offensive sets end in such a way that their big men will be in the logical place if there's a miss for the ball to bounce.
Yeah. Do you know what Houston's offensive set with Demo is? I think it's called Fist Up 2. They used to run it with Terrence Jones and Demo. So Demo dribble handoff with Harden on the perimeter. Demo goes and sets a flare screen on the baseline, and then Harden does a cross-court pass to someone in the corner for an open three. So if you miss that, where's your big man? Dwight is just being a fuckhead, probably posting up anyway. But
he probably thinks he has the ball.
Yeah. But Demo is behind the backboard, right up against the baseline, setting a flare screen, and no one rebounds, but we get killed on the boards every single game. But that's the reason we won yesterday, because in the first quarter, they absolutely destroyed them on the boards.
Yeah, dude, Dwight Howard's a little bit like Tyson Chandler, you know? Tyson Chandler and Dwight Howard, they're both not dead. If Dwight, one of the teams that has circulated as a possible Dwight Howard team for this next season, if the Mavericks end up with Dwight, they're going to use him really, really well. He's not done, you know? He's just done in the capacity that Bickerstaff is trying to use him.
Exactly.
It's sort of sad, because part of it is that he's just not as good as he used to be. And part of it is that he's being utilized in a totally ass-backwards way.
Yeah.
There's a degree to which his, like, run-through-the-big-man thing makes sense, but only in the Stan Van Gundy type of way, where, like...
That's exactly where I take...
Yeah.
Well, our system is a lot like Stan Van Gundy's was in Orlando. 4 out, 1 in. But that's when Demo's not on the floor, but...
I don't know about that.
Not exactly, but, like...
Yeah, I don't... I mean, especially not with Capella starting.
No, yeah, but when was the last time he started?
Yesterday. I don't know.
he hasn't started... I don't think he started at all since it became January. I don't even know. But it's been a while.
So, has Ariza been starting pretty much every game at 4?
No. Ariza's been starting at the 3. Since Demo came back from injury, we've gone Bev, Harden, Ariza, Demo, and Howard. But then... The thing
is, dude, that's a lot different from the Stan Van lineup.
Yeah, but that's what they've changed to now.
Yeah.
But it was with Terrence Jones, he just lurked on the perimeter, basically, even though he just can't shoot threes. But
He had one good season.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, did you get to my first article I ever wrote?
Yeah, I'm reading it now.
Hey, what's the name of it, just for the fans out there?
Dwight Howard is the worst in every single way.
The Dwight man, I love it. Yeah.
I talk about a few things in that, including his, like, just shit poor post-up percentages.
Yeah, like, that's the thing I don't understand. Like, even with working with Hakeem, sometimes he pulls out these awesome post moves, but, like, it's not, like, high percentage look.
I can't figure out Dwight Howard. I think that he is, you know what I'm saying? You should listen to that interview, because, like, one of the... functional impressions that I got, he was talking about, like, his posse and who he lets roll with him and shit, like, fucking
is asshole. That his interview with Ellen?
I sent the link to you guys on Twitter in a message. It's an interview with Sam Amick from NBA to Z, and he's talking about, like, oh yeah, I've had to, like, cut some people out of my crew because they were negative and bring in, like, negative thoughts.
To cut out James Harden.
But basically, the way that I interpreted it is, like, I've had to cut people out of my crew who didn't just suck my dick all the time and talk about how great I was.
Yeah.
So I think he's in, like, this, like, fantasy world where, like, he isn't shit now, and he's surrounded himself with yes men who tell him things like, yeah, go ahead and make a documentary about yourself and how Kobe was mean to you. People will love that. You know, like, so he doesn't understand that he's, like, fucking bad, or that he isn't fucking Shaq and he isn't going to, like, be able to... you know, be a functional big man star anymore in the way that he wants to be. Well, and there's no one around to tell him that, because he's cutting everyone out who doesn't just, like, blow him all the time.
Dwight, if you're not posting up 20 times a game, they don't value you, man. Get out of there. I've noticed, a lot of people have noticed this too, like, he doesn't box out anymore, like, basically at all. He still thinks he can outjump every single person around him for a rebound.
He's delusional, man.
He's still got good hops and everything. He can still get high above the rim. But the amount of offensive rebounds I've seen this year because he just stands there and jumps, and then someone just comes through, grabs the ball easily, and just puts it back. But I don't know. I think he's still, like, yeah, I think he's delusional. I agree with you. Like, he just thinks I'm still 24-year-old prime Dwight, absolutely murdering anyone who comes near.
Okay, hey, so a lot of our podcasts are like this and just sort of BSing around and stuff like that. Yeah. But I have to direct the podcast over towards the Nuggets now, you know?
Yeah, but no, fair cool.
So, Tim, you guys, like, know about each other's teams, right?
Yeah, we watch every game together.
Oh, cool. Okay, so what did you think about Emmanuel Mudiay before the draft, and then what do you think now?
Well, before the draft, I was still not sold on getting a point guard because I didn't want Ty to go.
Right. Yeah, you like Ty.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Ty.
And sure, it's a good thing you're not the president of basketball operations for the Nuggets.
I'd be so biased because I would still not want to get rid of Gallinari, even though it's probably the next thing that's going to happen.
Oh, I love Gallo.
Yeah, same. I wouldn't want to get rid of him, but he's probably the next thing that needs to go.
Yeah. Okay, after you talk about Mudiay, let's talk about Gallo.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mudiay, before the draft, I didn't really know that much about him, obviously, because he hadn't played. So I hadn't looked up anything on him.
What?
I wanted...
Oh, go ahead. I was going to make a joke about Australia being near China, but...
Go for it.
Well, I mean, it's not that I thought of a joke and I was like, oh no, it's not the right time. It's that I thought of the possibility of a joke, but it didn't fully thresh itself out, so...
It's not that... Well, Australia is in the middle of fucking nowhere, so it's not near fucking anything. And because we live in Melbourne, which is at the complete bottom of Australia, it would take about, what, 6-7 hours to probably fly to China.
At least.
So it's not really that close.
I mean, like, you, if there was a joke, you killed it.
He's such a buzzkill, man.
Sorry. Anyway, back to the media. I wanted Winslow, to be honest, because I was high on Winslow. And
yeah. Winslow's great.
Yeah. I mean, getting Mudiay at 7, I didn't really understand how much of a steal it was. And now I know. Now I completely know. Because his first couple of games, he was effectively what Michael Carter-Williams still is. I'm not shooting. I'm just going to throw the ball to someone else and hope they do something with it. But now, like, do you know about the game that the Nuggets came back from, like, down 15 against Chicago and won? I think it was, like, middle of January. We were down by 15, like, start of the last quarter, and we came back and won by, like, 6 or something.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, it was the game that Jimmy Butler got injured.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, second and third quarters, Mudiay kept driving to the rim, and just, like, getting rejected, blocked, pushed out, everything. And then in the fourth quarter, I think it was Malone who said something to him, like, stop going half-assed, just go aggressive, and you'll do something. And he, like, something clicked, and he just... Every time he was driving, he would either dunk it instead of just trying these stupid layups, floaters, shit, jump shot, whatever he does.
Yeah.
And he would either dunk it or he would just, you know, pick and pop, throw it out to someone on the arc, you know, like Gary Harris, because he's improved so much. He'd just drop threes and then we just kept coming back. Mudiay was just that focal point. And that's like, I can see him in 5 or 6 years just being someone like probably a Damian Lillard, I reckon. No one's compared him to Lillard, but that's what I see him. Not as good of a scorer. But, like, you know, he can run that offense. Everything would effectively go through him unless, you know, when CJ's not on the floor, everything goes through Dame.
Okay, and, you know, yeah. I think you'll probably like this comparison more. I see more like Dwayne Wade.
Well, I don't really know what Dwayne Wade was like in his prime. But like,
well, I mean, I guess you don't. Okay, so John Wall.
Yeah.
So
yeah, John Wall, yeah.
Primary ball handler, really fast, explosive, does a whole lot of things, not a great jump shooter.
Yeah.
Because coming into the draft, I predicted that he would have the second best career besides Karl Anthony Towns. Like, I love Mudiay, you know?
Yeah.
And that started from a couple of years ago when he decided to not go to college and instead go to China. And I thought that that decision to go to China was such an interesting and cool one because the dynamic behind it was that he wasn't in a financial situation to get fucked over by the college system and not get paid for a year, right? As a 17-year-old coming out of high school, he has the mental fortitude to leave to a country that he doesn't know the language. He doesn't know, like, fucking shit about anything, right? Go to China and, like, try to be the driving force and succeed until he gets injured. of this team where he's traveling around in like a rickety fucking bus from like Shanghai to like, I don't know, some other city, some other place, right? And like,
what else is he in China?
He's talked about it in interviews and stuff and just underplayed how like fucking like insane it was. He was like, yeah, I'd show up in a city by myself and not be able to find anyone. It'd be in the boonies, like, just like,
yeah,
you know, no one could speak English, and just have somehow figure out where this basketball arena is, and like no one fucking knows China. And he like did it, you know, he like figured it out, and then he got cut by the Chinese team because he got injured, which is a whole shit show in of itself, right?
Yeah.
And like just that skill set, and I'm watching that a lot this draft. It's a really good bet to make coming out of college or high school, just for someone who you're a prospect, you're developing, that if they're a sort of oversized athletic guard that can get to the basket at will, has really good passing vision, but sort of lacks a jump shot, it's a good bet that he's going to develop a good enough one that he's usable, you know?
Yeah.
That's like what happened with Russell Westbrook.
Well, about now, Moutier's, I think he finished above 30% three-point percentage. Last couple of games, he wasn't scared to take a shot. He wasn't going to shy away from it or anything, which is good. Because did you see my article I wrote about Mike Miller and Jimmy Nelson?
No, I didn't. I'll pull it up. What is it?
I talked about how we should keep... Because Miller's... I'm pretty sure he's out of contract at the end of this season. And Nelson has like another 2 or 1. But Miller still wants to play. And I mean, he's played like what? In total, about 5 minutes in the last couple of games, because he's come in with 6 seconds left to throw the ball in, which is why Houston
should Nuggets, be. Mike Miller, and Jameer Nelson need to stay no matter what.
Yeah, that's the one. Miller's been teaching Moutier how to shoot, and it's not often that you have someone like an absolute three-point specialist teaching someone how to shoot. This offseason, I'm pretty sure they're just going to pull apart Moutier's jumper and just start again. And if Miller stays, that whole offseason can just be him teaching him how to shoot. And then if he has a jumper like Mike Miller, there's nothing that's going to stop him from being a star.
I just listened to an interview that Mike Miller had with someone. I think it might have been on CBS, talking about his experiences in the league. And he talked a little bit about being a role player who gets a lot of playoff time. But yeah, I think this season for me has been a demonstration, and this sort of gets back to the Rockets for a while, of why analytics is this like beating heart of understanding basketball, where if you just disregard it, it's just like a dead body. But if you only have this heart and like you don't have anything else, then it doesn't work. You know, you can't like breathe, you can't like do shit, you know?
Yeah.
One of the big failures, I think, of analytics has been not having those veterans sort of to make sure that Jahlil Okafor doesn't like get into fights all the time, you know? And like Kevin Garnett hanging out, making sure that all of the young guys up in Minnesota aren't just like dicking around.
Yeah.
It's not even a veteran thing. It's like a mentor thing, because Kobe was there on the Lakers, and so was like fucking Lou Williams. But, you know, they're not like, Kobe couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And Lou Williams is like fucking Lou Williams. Like, he has like 2 girlfriends. Yeah, and like he's just,
yeah, he has 2 wives.
Yeah, he's just insane, you know? So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because the young guys, it seems like from a psychological profile perspective, are going to look up to the older guys. And if they're there and they've done everything you need to do to be a professional in the NBA, that's going to set the tone and set the culture in a way that's clearly important. Because speaking of, you know, the Rockets, Daryl Morey kind of created a shit show because Dwight Howard and James Harden are the sort of emotional
arrogant pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Well, basically, the thing is, though, both of them are, like, arrogant. They're, like, so confident in their abilities, but on the court, neither of them are, like, alpha dogs. They're not... The way Harden plays, he's always in control and everything, but he's not vocal. He doesn't control his teammates and everything, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not his personality to be the alpha male of the group.
But he thinks it is.
But that's the way he plays, so he has to step up.
Yeah.
It's like Jimmy Butler is exactly the same situation in Chicago. They gave him a max deal. So when you get the max, they expect you to be the leader. They expect you to be the scorer. They expect you to do everything. So I don't know if he was so much as quiet like Harden is.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of issues being like a leader as well, even though he's taking all the shots and everything. See, like, I think it's a lot like that. But I think, well, Dwight is 100% gone at the end of the season. There's no way he opts in.
Yeah, where is he going to go?
And
what if he does?
He's not going to opt in.
What if he does, though? What if he does?
Well, we're fucked if he opts in. It's not going to happen.
How funny would it be if he's just like, fuck, I just want to ruin my third franchise. Let's just
dude, go for it. It's too late for that.
But people were actually, like, do you know what's funny? That is actually the biggest fear. Like, on Rocket's Twitter, it is that Dwight will opt in. That is the biggest fear for next year. It's not that we won't be able to get any good players or whatever. It's that Dwight will opt in, and that will be the worst case scenario.
Well, you're not going to get a good draft pick now that you decided to, you know, come eighth and just get smashed by Golden State.
But hey, start on this.
Thanks for that draft pick.
Don't get me started on this.
One of the things that... Well, okay, so...
So, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. But... You know what's an ownership you should trust?
OwningFanEssentials.net.
Ownership of the corporation / business / your friendly neighborhood FanEssentials.net.
/ our sponsor.
/ our sponsor.
/ the gift that your girlfriend is getting you, from what I hear.
Well, yeah, my girlfriend did text me and say, I have the greatest gift for you. And if that's truly the case, then she got me a fan box from FanEssentials.net. Armand, do you know what FanEssentials.net is?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty sick company. I love it.
Armand, I've never met you in person, but what size shirt do you wear? You sound like a large, a medium or large.
I wear a large.
Yeah, but you're like a medium-sized guy who wears a large shirt.
Yeah, great. Large.
And hey, you're a Bucks fan / Raptors fan, right?
Yep, I'm a bit of both.
Yeah, and you know what? You're up in Toronto, you're up in Canada, but here's the great thing about FanEssentials.net. They don't care. They'll go over the border. They don't give a shit. They'll send you a box right to your doorstep in Toronto. It'll show up in this really cool packaging that sort of has that sleek cardboard material, sort of like what iPhones come in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that nice sort of like smooth cardboard.
Right, yeah.
Non-cord.
It'll show up. It has...
Like they really care, yeah.
Because they do care about their product.
Yeah, they put in that extra effort.
Yeah, and that's why it's such a stupendous product, because every box is handpicked by them. It's all team-sponsored gear. Sometimes it's from third-party makers who just got the licensing. Sometimes it's from the team themselves. But every time, you love it because it's great quality gear for only $14.99 or $34.99.
It gets delivered to your door or your friend's door. Or your parents' door.
Or your stepdad's father's door.
But it gets delivered monthly as long as you keep paying the subscription. And here's some great news that the first month of that subscription is 3% off with the promo code ALMIGHTY at checkout. And you know how to spell ALMIGHTY because you're looking at the name of this podcast right now.
That's Mighty. Great news. You're right.
But if you cannot smell even the smallest of words,
ALMIGHTY.
So thanks for using promo code ALMIGHTY. And thanks for listening through this promo, even though it was pretty good and I'm sure you weren't all that bored. So now we can get back to the topic at hand, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers, or whatever it is we're talking about, if I end up copying and pasting this promo and using another stuff with the cool music behind it. So, all right, guys. By the way, I think you guys have been great so far. I'm pretty excited about that. One of the better first time goes that I can remember. So, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
And
just a couple of outgoing blokes, mate. That's why.
You should just, like, replace every noun with, like, Barbie or, like, dingo.
Should I just speak, like, Aussie as f***, just to confuse everyone?
I don't even know an Australian. Yeah. I mean, and I'm in Texas. Like, we ride cows to work every day and tractors and stuff.
Do you think we ride kangaroos?
Are you kidding? They're way too big to be in the house. I have a wallaby.
You know, someone actually messaged me on Twitter asking if I have a pet kangaroo. I was like, are you fucking with me? But he was serious. No. I said to him, I was like, are you serious? And he's just like, yeah, serious question. I was like, well, man, it's fucking Australia. Of course, everyone has a pet kangaroo. And I'm pretty sure he believed me, so.
You have to be a special type of person to message someone and ask them if they have a pet kangaroo. So I bet he believed you, too.
Oh, man.
Probably from Denver. Makes sense.
Whoa. Wait, hey. Whoa. Have either of you guys been to Houston / Denver?
No.
So you guys haven't been to the cities?
No, I've never been to America. Never been out of Australia.
Oh, man.
Wait, I'm coming next year, though. Sometime next year.
To do what?
I don't know. But I'm, like, I was thinking of doing a...
Just visiting?
Yeah, doing, like, a Kentucky. Going, like, New York, LA, and shit. With my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Is that...
And, like, to Houston and stuff.
Is that the one in the sky picture there?
Yes. It's an old as f*** photo, like, though. Yeah. That's from my Facebook from, like, 3 years ago. But... Because I haven't used Skype in,
like,
see, like,
I normally do the interviews instead of using Skype as the medium for the phone call. I just have a phone call, but it'd be long distance.
Yeah.
And when I opened up Skype, I hadn't used it for, like, 4 years. And it was, like, this cat... Well, it was a cat with a human face photoshopped onto it, and then it said, hey, guys. So then I changed it to the basketball. Let's see if I can find it. The old one. Oh, I found it. Okay. Okay, I'm going to send this to you guys on Twitter so you can
look at it. Is it your face?
No. Like, I can't even imagine what I was thinking. I think I just had to have a picture and that was the most recent one. Did you get it on Twitter?
Yeah, we just got it. Can you make a photo for this podcast on your page?
Oh my gosh, okay. Did you see the Bulls podcast?
No. Well, I'll have a look now.
Okay, so go to the site and look at the podcast logo for the Bulls series. It's like Fred's Bulls Don't Have Wings, something like that.
Yeah. Bulls. Wait, like 50s, like
50s. I could do something like that. I'm gonna do something like that.
With crying face Jordan?
Yeah, yeah. I could put it back there. go back to the front page of the archives and then go all the way to the bottom and look at the texting and driving number 2 one, because there's a super sneaky crying face Jordan in the background of that article title thing.
Wait, article or podcast?
Texting and driving is an article.
Oh. I didn't even notice it before.
Yeah, no, people don't notice it.
Yeah, because like you just assume it's like the NBA, like, so it's just blue.
Yeah. But it's there, it's like
I didn't even know.
It's some of my best work. I'm really proud of it.
That's so sneaky. I love it.
So Dwight Howard resigned. I mean, we could pretty much just, what else should we talk about? Oh, okay. We should talk about, okay, have you looked at who's going to be a free agent this summer?
Yeah.
Have you guys each thought of who you want to retain and who you want to try to pick up?
Kind of.
There was a while that I thought Kevin Durant might go to the Rockets, but that doesn't look like a possibility.
Yeah, that's good.
That was big last year. Everyone was saying that Harden, Howard, Durant at the Rockets would be like, but now Howard's going to fuck off. But
well,
the interesting thing is, though, when Howard goes, we can make space for 2 max spots. So Durant and possibly someone else, like a big 3. But who the fuck wants to go to Houston, so...
Yeah, dude, there's no way. Not. I mean, I think people do want to go to Houston, but if Durant leaves, it'll be because he doesn't think that he can win a championship in OKC. And he's not going to, like, look at the Rockets and be like, yeah, they look like a budding dynasty.
The only
like,
way would we...
They're just really fucking chilling out over there.
Yeah, the only way would be if we make a signing before Durant, and he's like, oh, I can get on board with that. But that won't happen as well, because Morey's going to go straight after Durant. Probably won't... He won't even, like, work out, but he'll go straight after him.
Yeah, I wrote an article about how lame the Rockets have been about their free agents the last few years. Like, when they went after Carmelo and put that billboard up in Houston with
and like
with the jersey that said number 6 on it while they still had Jeremy Lin, you know?
Jeremy Lin. Yeah, I remember Jeremy Lin's like, what the fuck?
I mean, like, in the 14-15 season, I was like, look, the Rockets are going to implode, and it's because of all these chemistry issues. And I wrote this whole article about it, and I was like, trust me, it's going to be a shit show because they keep doing all this stuff.
That's what everyone said, too.
And then last year, they held it together really well, and I was like, okay, I guess they can do it. I guess chemistry isn't going to ruin them. And then this season, it's like, ha, just kidding. Like, fuck you. Like, nice try.
Well, I don't think people realized how important picking up Josh Smith on waivers and Corey Brewer on trade, because our bench before them was atrocious.
Dude, but Josh Smith is... I mean, Josh Smith and Corey Brewer are both pretty bad. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
but last year they were so good together. But I don't know.
KJ is your best bench player, to be honest.
Well, so does everyone else except for fucking Bickerstaff. But
no, Bickerstaff says that he believes it, but I don't know. I guess he like.
Yeah.
I mean, he won't like shut up about him, but I think it's ever since there was that one game. I think it was you guys played the Pistons, and he put KJ McDaniels out there in the third quarter, and like he fouled Andre Drummond like 5 plays in a row. Ever since then, Bickerstaff has been like, no, KJ is a valuable member of our team. He's so good. Like, because I think KJ went back to the visitor's locker room after that game and like had a breakdown and like started crying on the Bickerstaff blazer. He's like, nah, B's our big strong boy. Like,
man, he could fit into Dwight's posse. All this positivity and just sucking d-
Can you imagine? Yeah, dude, that's why Bickerstaff got the job. I bet what finally broke it is that Kevin McHale finally said during practice, he's like, Harden, you know you need to pass. And Howard, like, you're not me, sorry. And then next day, he just gets the pink slip. He's yeah, out.
Bickerstaff just takes the opportunity, just like, no, Harden, you just do whatever you want. Howard, you're a big, strong man. Your athleticism is just as good as it always was.
I mean,
what did McHale say on, I think it was TNT. Someone asked him something about the Rockets. And he's just, like, they're expecting him to, like, you know, be all, like, positive and stuff about him. He was just blunt as f***. He's like, they're shit or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what he said.
Yeah. Oh, McHale.
No, it was no, McHale.
They said, do you miss coaching or something? And
what did he... No, he said something... I don't know what it was.
Yeah, they said, do you miss coaching? He's like, it depends who you're coaching.
Oh. I remember reading some quotes after the whole Rockets thing, but... I mean, is he going to get another job?
It's a big question.
I mean, if Sacramento wasn't,
that's
like...
a typical Kings hire.
Okay. No, Kevin McHale would be good for the Kings, right? And Boogie?
Why are you talking about McHale? I thought you were talking about Bickerstaff.
Oh, no. Okay, so I... All right, okay, let's...
What, Bickerstaff, Brian Shaw?
He ain't getting another job.
Why don't we just have Bickerstaff, Byron Scott, and all going for it together? What a good idea.
The other people who the Kings are looking at are just like, damn. They should hire as their director of player development. Yeah, no, I heard him too. They should hire Derek Fisher as their HR guy. As their sports psychologist, like, one of the players goes in, Marco Bellinelli's like, yeah, man, I haven't been playing well. I'm having trouble at home, you know, with I'll the wife. Derek Fisher's like, oh, really? You guys just set up a group counseling appointment. Give me your number.
They could have couples counseling, and then it's just like, oh, I need to stay back and talk to your wife for a bit. She's going through a lot more problems than you are right now. Mr. Sneaky Sneaky, Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, they get all choked up.
Wait, who's choking her?
Hey. This is a family-friendly podcast. I wasn't trying to imply anything.
Hey, yeah, James, the barber listens to this. Don't be rude.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Mr. President.
I remember after that whole thing happened, it happened right around Valentine's Day, and the first thing was that the Grizzlies, in their Valentine's Day Instagram post, had Matt Barnes with roses, and it was just like, oh, man, like... Wrong choice. Come on, Grizzlies. Like,
he'll use his thorns to just like slice open Derek Fisher's neck or something.
Well, and then the other thing was that Jalen Rose on Jalen and Jacoby.
Yeah, that's Jalen Jacoby.
Yeah, it was like, remember, guys, get your girl something on Valentine's Day, because if you don't, Derek Fisher will.
He's so funny.
Yeah, I know. That was great.
It's me, cool.